Universe is here again. On the same thought we had on last week, Lord, really seem to help us, give us the truth, and thankful for that. Challenge your heart about the matter of prayer. Like, find your place, be praying for us. We'll be preaching on Friday night in the watch night, New Year's Eve service of our in Rogersville, the Brother Rapids Church. I think he's got several preachers lined up from 8 o'clock to midnight. Amen. That's a lot of church, 4 hours of church. And amen, going all the way to midnight. Amen. I said, preach, you ever done that before? I have. In fact, in my early days of preaching in North Carolina, I used to preach, I think, Brother Joe, the most I did was 3 services in 1 New Year's Eve night. Preaching. At our church, I preached in Greensburg, another person, rode all the way to Lexington and preached at another church over there at midnight. And those was some days, man. Those were some days I had my fill of it and about got sick in New Year's Eve services. Going to midnight is tough. And Brother Radley, he texted me, said, where are you preaching at? He gave the date, and I knew it was one. And I wanted to text back and say anything but going to a New Year's Eve service. And the Holy Ghost said, you called to preach and you're going to go preach. It's the door open. And so we'll be up there on Friday. If any of y'all are brave enough and tough enough and want to join us, we'll be glad to see you up there. And I'm sure it'll be a good service and a good time. And then I'll be here Sunday morning. Brother Joe will be preaching for us, filling in for me on Sunday night. And you won't want to miss that service here. We'll be leaving out after the morning service and headed down to Hartsville, South Carolina, and kicking off for a Bible meeting down there for Brother Watson at his church. We'll be preaching Sunday night and Monday night to start their meeting. And so you pray for us, God use us in these days. And I'm looking forward to getting the year kicked off, being used to the Lord, and doing something for the Lord, however He opens up doors for us. I'm excited about what He's going to do around here. I'm excited about what He's going to use us to do. And just to try to be a small part of God's big plan in these last days. And if we make it, Lord may come back tonight, or maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday. We won't even make it into 2022. And that would be just fine with me. Amen. I wouldn't have to go home and pack if He called us home right now. And I'm excited about coming to the Lord, but excited about serving the Lord till that day. Acts chapter number 12. I won't read all these verses we did last week, but let me just read a few and we'll maybe give you one more point. We'll see how the Lord leads us tonight. Now, about that time, verse 1, Herod, the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When it apprehended him, put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forward to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. And here's our phrase we've been emphasizing, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So as verses go down and on through there, Peter is found in prison. He's evidently, the hour's getting late. He and all them soldiers around him are asleep. The angel of the Lord comes and wakes him up, sets him free from the shackles, calls on him to arise, get his coat, and out of prison they go all the way till Peter is standing free and at liberty in the street. Verse number 12 said, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. The Bible said, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. All right, you can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, help us one more time to pray in the house of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity we have. Lord, may our gathering together not be in vain, but Lord, may it be to the edifying of the saints and our growth in these disciplines, Lord, we give tonight and these truths. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd encourage every saint of God tonight, Lord, in their prayer life and in their relationship with you and with one another. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You remember on last week, opened up a message from Acts 12, we understood and talked about how that in these days, leading into chapter number 12, this story is literally centered around the early church and its expansion and its effectiveness in the generation some 2,000 years ago. How the Lord and the Holy Ghost was blessing the church and giving them unction and power that would stand and preach and minister their generation in that power. Sinners would fall under conviction, and sinners were being saved literally by the thousands at a time. And what an amazing testimony the book of Acts lays forth of the power and the effectiveness and the expansion of the early church and the heritage from which we have come from. With that power, with that effectiveness, we understand there were many obstacles that they had to overcome. And there's a lot of things that took place without the church. Some things are taking place within the church. And these were designed, no doubt, by the enemies around them, the enemies you and I still face, to bring obstacles to slow down and even hinder and stop the work of God. Such obstacle we find in Acts chapter number 12 in the killing and the martyrdom of James, the brother of John. How Herod had him slain, he finds it that pleased the Jews and those that had yet to be saved, those rejecters of the gospel who were hostile to the work of God, he found that it pleased them, and so he intended that he might do the same to the great man of God, the Apostle Peter, and had imprisoned him and waited on a season of 7 or 8 days. We find that he's been kept in prison with the intent that Herod is going to take his life. This is an obstacle, another obstacle to the work of God. And yet in the story, we find that though Peter, verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but the Bible said that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so this is the report of God's people that no doubt gave Peter the rest and the peace that he needed. And in such a trying time, on the eve of the day of his appointed execution, he is able to sleep. He is able to doze off and go to sleep. Shackles upon his wrists, shackles upon his ankles, chained to a soldier on each side. 14 other soldiers gathered around. The prison doors are slammed shut. He's deep within the ward of this prison and this keeping. And yet Peter seems to have no fear, no anxiety. He has no dread. Why? Amen. Because Peter understands the people of God are praying for him. And he is trusting God, and they are trusting God. And even as the ticks on the clock, as it were, seem to be getting louder and louder, and his death is getting nearer and nearer, there is a peace that abides in his heart, knowing that though he is in prison, prayer is being made on the outside for him. And so we consider the report of God's people is that but prayer was made, and though Herod's prison doors had clanged shut, heaven's prayer doors had been opened wide, and prayer was made on Peter's behalf. Amen. What a ministry the early church had in this text and throughout its beginning and its heritage, and they were a praying people. Amen. It didn't matter. It didn't matter how deep in the prison and how tightly shut and secure the prison of Herod was made. And my friend, heaven's doors, the prayer doors of glory, amen, were open wide by these saints of God, men and women and young people of faith, amen, knew that they could touch God from Peter's dire situation. And so we're dealing with the subject of prayer, but in particular, amen, the word that stands out to you and I in this text is not that prayer was said. It's not that prayer was some sort of formality to them, but the Holy Spirit of God, in describing the prayer life in Acts chapter 12 of the early church, is found in the word made. But prayer was made. And it was beyond saying prayers and repeating of prayers and just a formalistic way of going through a religious exercise. But indeed, prayer was made. And so focusing on that word made, that would mean to you and I, and indicate to you and I, amen, the meaning to cause to be or to come into being. And literally, the word means to come into existence. We settled in upon that thought and that definition of in their prayer life and prayers for this time and this situation. And prayer was existing to them. And we noted last week that the opposite of something being in existence is that it has been brought into a state of extinction. And we asked ourselves the question on last week, is our prayer life existent or is it extinct? Amen. Is it existent or is it extinct? The word made brings several truths to light. Amen. In light of that, obviously the first would be that, amen, their prayer life had some life or some liveliness to it. Amen. The prayer was made. It was existing. It wasn't extinct. It wasn't something that had existed at one time and then faded out into obscurity, only to be a fading memory. Amen. No, it had life and it had liveliness about it. The word made would indicate that as it comes from the Greek word genomai, is where our English words gene, generation, or generate are derived from. That would indicate life. Amen. And not just life, but life that produces life. Amen. A life, and it's a life that is ongoing, a life that is expanding, a life that is not just confined in that primitive small measure, but reaches out and grows into the generations. And so thus the word made indicates that prayer to the early church involved, amen, it involved in life. And we ought to have a lively prayer life. Amen. Our prayer life ought to be existing there. And in these last days, I'm afraid we're far removed. I can't fall down here, but we're far removed from what the early church had. Amen. And where prayer was existing to them, it's just about nearly become extinct in our generation. Amen. I'm not just talking about saying prayers and praying over the food and praying over the offering and praying at bedtime. Amen. I'm talking about a lively prayer life that can get a hold of God. Amen. It moves God to move in great and mighty miraculous power. Amen. For our condition. Amen. And so the word made would indicate that prayer involved in life. And prayer in the word made it indicates that prayer in this text and in the early church and to the early church involved labor. Amen. For made indicates that whether you're making a supper or building a house, there is labor involved.
Amen. If it is yet unmade at something, Julian added. Amen. In the last week, had made a little piece of furniture for her. Amen. That involved setting aside some time to, amen, cut some wood and dry some screws and spread some glue. And, amen. It involves made. When we say we made something, then it means we got after it and we used our hands and we labored. Amen. Oh, Matthew, there's a long ways to child God. The church ought to be laboring. Amen. We can talk about laboring in the field and in the harvest and going after sinners and passing out tracts and knocking doors and being a witness hat would be a noble labor that, amen, a good child of God and a good disciple the Lord Jesus will labor in. Amen. We ought to labor in the local church and, amen, find something to put our hands to and to do that and labor in for the cause of Christ. That would be noble. Amen, friend, just a decent disciple of Christ would do that. But man, friend, if we done all that, we didn't labor in prayer. Amen, I'm not so sure there's no greater labor to undertake. Amen, than that of learning how to indeed labor in prayer. Amen. The word made indicates life. It indicates laboring. A word made that requires, when we think about, amen, again, the idea of that we made something or that we're making something. Amen. That we involve and require a list. Amen. For to make a cake is to incorporate the right ingredients. Amen. To make a structure is to bring together the right materials. And we said on last week, it's important enough to say again, we don't want to confine our prayer life into a list of checking old things. And if we was to do that, maybe we'd bring a bondage to our life. And so that's not necessarily what we had in mind, but understanding that in the place that prayer was made, and their prayer, in way of a mist, we would mean that it was made up of the right ingredients. It was made up of the right material set. And that friend, that though prayer cannot be condensed into a list, amen, that we check off, we must understand that, amen, there are things that prayer is made of. And is the idea we're getting to for our fall in preaching on the thought of what prayer is made of. Amen. If we're really going to pray, if we're really going to have a prayer life that is existing and not going extinct or not gone extinct, then my friend, it's got to have life and it's got to have labor and it's got to have, amen, a list of right ingredients attached to it whereby, amen, it is made of the right things. And so, we began to preach last week on the thought what prayer is made of. I believe in that study, I believe just as we've seen that, amen, in reading and meditating that Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 5, and the phrase, the prayer was made. And there are a series of four statements that are made in connection with what prayer that they made. Amen. What is associated with that? And show you and I, amen, what prayer is made of. And without re-preaching it all, just simply prayer, number one, we said last week, is made of resolve. It is made of resolve. The Bible said, but prayer was made. And the next two words said, without ceasing. Amen, friend, they weren't up. Amen. They weren't a pop in and pop out of the throne room of grace kind of prayer people. Amen. They prayed without ceasing. Amen. Literally meaning stretching forth. Amen. That is, they knew something about prayer prior to this, but the situation called for a resolve. Amen. It called for a determination. It called for, amen, them to stretch themselves in this discipline a little bit further and a little bit greater than they had prior to it. Amen. And so we find their resolve, the implication. Amen. He said they're going beyond what they have been used to. And so prayer in our life is to be made a result. And man, just say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray. And man, I said some years ago, in fact, and man, I guess it was near 8 years ago when I first took the church and teaching. I knew about prayer and things. God had told me the greatest way to learn to pray is to start praying. Amen. It's that simple to engage in prayer. Amen. To be resolved that no matter what is going on around me, amen, I'm going to pray and I'm going to do so without ceasing. Amen. A lot of things would have told them to cease in prayer. Amen. A lot of things in Acts chapter 12 and all that is going on. Amen. When a whisper to them, prayer and continuing to pray is not going to do any good, so just quit praying. And yet the Word of God said, but prayer was made without ceasing. Brother Mac, they didn't allow. And what they saw, they didn't allow what they were hearing. They didn't allow what they were feeling to cause them, amen, to quit praying. They were resolved to do it anyway. Amen. Verses 1 and 2, they were resolved to pray in spite of the tears. Amen. James, their dearly beloved, and one of their preachers had his life taken, no doubt had broken their heart. Amen. And so, no doubt they had prayed for him. And for whatever reason, God did not spare his life. And they were left disappointed. They were left brokenhearted. And yet, amen, they pray on again. Amen. So pray in spite of the tears. Pray in spite of the time. Amen. Verses 3 through 4. Amen. And I can't wait to preach all this. We'll be here all night. Amen. Pray in spite of the tears. Pray in spite of the time. No matter how long you have to pray. Amen. Be resolved to pray. Amen. No matter how late the hour is getting and how dire the situation was, amen, just be resolved to pray. Pray in spite of the trouble. Amen. Peter is arrested in prison, committed to the 16 soldiers. He's shackled to a soldier on both sides. Amen. He's in the deepest part of the ward. He's been made as secure as any prisoner can be. Amen. It seems like an impossible situation. Amen. The flesh, no doubt, would tell them, amen, you can't get Peter out of the situation. The trouble, amen, has got it too far gone, and yet they resolved to pray. Amen. And prayer was made anyway. Amen. Without ceasing, they kept praying. It teaches us, amen, that prayer is made of resolve. Church, amen, don't ever quit praying. Say, preacher, amen, I've been too disappointed. I've got too many tears. God has not answered enough of my prayers. God has not come through in the right amount of time. And it seems like the trouble is too great. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, what the Holy Ghost wants us to learn tonight, is that prayer is made of resolve. Amen. You got to pray and you got to keep praying and pray without ceasing. Prayer is made of resolve.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. Moving on. Number two. That's enough for, amen, rehashing what we said on last week. Number two. Amen. Prayer is not only made of resolve, but there's a truth, I think, that is as important in this text, and comparing it to the rest of the Word of God is just as important to our prayer life and what prayer is made, and that is that prayer is not only made of resolve, but it's also made of relationships. Amen. Notice what the next phrase said, but prayer is made without ceasing. And then here's what the Holy Ghost said in the King James Bible of the church. And that's important in your act this evening, of the church. And part of the prayer that was made, it involved that friend, a coming together of the church. Amen. Prayer sprung forth not from a preacher and not from a single Christian, but
Amen. The Bible said of the church, and this is important tonight, for the church is made up of many that are gathered together and functioning as one. When we think about the doctrine of the church, and in particular that doctrine that is so near and dear to our hearts around here, that doctrine of the local church, amen, and prayers and relationships that make up that of the local assembly. Amen. I'm reminded here as we read in verse number 12, and upon the setting free of Peter by the angel of the Lord, amen, evidently Brother Larry, word had been brought to Peter. Peter, we know that you're in a bad situation, but we're praying for you. And then Peter, while you're in here, we're down here at the house of Mary, and we're going to be praying for you and calling your name out to the very last possible second. And we're praying that God will do something. Amen. Maybe Peter said, well, who's to pray down there? And they said, Peter, you ain't going to believe it all. The church is praying for you. Amen. And now you got to understand how big the church is. I'm doubtful, amen, that all the church is gathered there at one time. Amen. They ain't a house big enough. Amen. The house all that crowd at one time. The church by Acts 12. Amen. Is numbered into the multiple tens of thousands of people that have been saved and baptized and a part of the church. And no doubt though, amen, they're taking their turns round the clock to pray for Peter in particular. This prayer meeting is going on in his house. And so Peter comes there. And he is the answer. Peter was the object of their prayer, and now he has become the answer to the prayers of the church. Amen. Now here's what Peter found when he got there. Amen. The end of verse number 12 said, where many, amen, notice that, where many were gathered together praying. Amen. Where many were gathered together praying. Amen. And so when we think about the prayers made without ceasing of the church, amen, again, not a single Christian, amen, not just a preacher, amen, it wasn't just a clique that had gathered to pray. Oh, but that really was the church as a whole. Amen. Many were gathered together. Amen. Of the church. What is the church? I believe today the church is easily defined as a local group of saved and baptized believers, covenanted and united in doctrine, in fellowship, and in cause. A local church, let me say that again, a local church is a group of saved and may we say scripturally baptized believers covenanted and united together in doctrine, in fellowship, and in cause. And is that important? You better believe it is. Amen. There's a crowd in these days we live in. Amen. They're lone wolves. They're lone rangers. If you word it that way. Amen. They won't join a church. Amen. They pop in one for a while and then they pop in another. And they can't ever settle down because, amen, they can't find a place and they unify in doctrine, in fellowship, and in cause. They don't want any accountability. They want no responsibility. Amen. Laid on their shoulders for the committal and the cause in that church. Amen. But may I say, and I'm not necessarily preaching this, but amen, I guess maybe I am. Amen. I'm glad to belong to a, amen, to a local assembly in the local church. Amen. Folk who can't join with the church in unity. I'm in the church and say we're with you in doctrine, we're with you in fellowship, and we're with you in cause, my friend, that crowd. Amen. They may be good people. Amen. They may be wonderful people. Amen. But I'm telling you, there is something about our relationships with the local church that is gonna have issues, and that, I mean, that's in many, many times we, amen, we don't butt heads, and we got things we gotta work out. Amen. Some of the biggest hurts I've ever had have been in local church. Amen. But I'm still a local church man. Amen. I still have friends. I have joined myself. Amen. To the cause and the doctrine and the fellowship. Amen. That is important. Amen. As in regards to what our prayers are to be made up. Amen. Prayer was made of the church. Prayer was made of the church. Amen. Can I say that again? Prayer was made of the church. And I thought about this, Brother John. I thought about this. Amen. When Peter comes there, verse number 12. Amen. I noted the word a moment ago, the word many. Where many were gathered together. That word many, buddy, that implies a lot of things. Amen. You can't get many people together. Amen. And they all have some differences in backgrounds. Amen. Some differences in upbringing. Some differences in opinions. Amen. You can't get many together and there will be some sort of, amen, some sort of contentions every now and then. Amen. But what I like about the early church and what they're teaching us, prayer is to be made out. Amen. It didn't matter how many of them there were. Amen. They kept their relationships with one another right. Amen. So when they needed to pray, they could ring heaven's bell. Amen. And get their money called out of prison. And to help them sing the call and shackle. Amen. Because they were right with one another. Amen. And that many, I'm sure there was some that didn't jive. I'm sure there were that many, there was some that, amen, probably annoyed at one another. Amen. That's just part of getting many people together. Amen. Paul, are y'all listening? I didn't think this going to preach this good, but I'm feeling good about it. Amen. Paul said that, and then when he come to the church in Corinth in particular, amen, when God formed that church and started it, amen, he took a bunch of different kinds of materials and he tempted it all together and brought it together. Amen. And all them different backgrounds and all those different personalities, amen, were amen, essential to the local church being able to move forward. Amen. And so sometimes in a church with, amen, somebody annoy us, somebody, amen, will get on our nerves, somebody, amen, will begin to do things we don't agree with or we don't like. And if we're not careful, begin to think, well, the church would be better off if they ain't here. Shame on you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've never, amen, in my life ever thought, man, the church would be better if people just leave. That ain't a testimony on others. That's a testimony on us. Is that right? Amen. You get many people together, guess what? Amen. It ain't going to be long. Somebody going to get their feelings hurt. Amen. You get many together, it ain't going to be long. Somebody going to say something stupid they shouldn't say. Amen. You're going to get your feelings hurt and you're going to hurt some people's feelings. Amen. But you say, preacher, what's all that got to do with prayer? What it's got to do with? Amen. It means sometimes, amen, we got to sit down and work out, amen, the differences. And sometimes it means we just got to overlook some things. And sometimes it means, amen, we just got to let some things go. Amen. Why? Because it's important and right in my relationships with my church.
Amen.
Amen. And some folk, this Wednesday, I don't want to beat on this. But you can't pray right if you're not right with those around you.
Amen.
Amen. This crowd, evidently, I'm sure of it. Right now, I'm sure there were some in that many that maybe had hurt each other. But man, the need's too great. We hold grudges. We got to get a hold of God.
Amen.
Amen. We got a wicked king on the throne trying means I'm to walk circumspectly toward right.
Amen.
Amen. If I'm not right with him, Jesus said, when you go to pray and you remember those relationships ain't right, Jesus said, leave me alone, Satan. Go ahead and give up and try to make reconciliation.
Amen.
Some people won't let you make reconciliation.
Right.
But it's on you to try.
Yeah.
When they don't, it might be on you to just let it go and move on and let it all sort out the judgments. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Ain't no time for grudge holding and bitterness. And that friend is too much to be done. Amen. Finger pointing and blaming and all of that. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, when prayer needed to be made, amen, there were many that were able. Amen. Notice many. Here's what I want to tell you. Many entails all their differences. Many entails all the differences that they can point out. Yeah. The Bible said when Peter got there, they were gathered together praying. This shows that though many entails their differences, gathered together shows the unity they had with each other. Amen. Everybody okay? There are some things we have in unity with one another. Amen. Notice there may have been many differences and many oaths and many things that would have divided them, but there are at least three things in Acts 12 that unifies them so they can pray together. Number one, amen, they are unified by the same God.
Amen.
I tell you what has brought all of us here together tonight. Amen. Is that there was a day in our lives we were lost and undone. There was a day, man, friend, we weren't maybe interested in religion, even though maybe some of us were being brought up in religion. We was looking for a day to get out. And maybe there's a day God came into our little world by the Holy Ghost, and the gospel began to shine upon our head. And then all of a sudden, God of glory began to be real to you and me. And he reached further down where the rains would say, and we could have ever hoped and reached out, and he brought us out of the mire. Amen. And he cleaned our life, and he saved our soul. Amen. He redeemed our past. Amen. For his own name's sake, done a wondrous work in our life. Amen. And listen. And then I've got something in common. I've got something that unifies me with every person that professes the same salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Listen. And maybe a lot of things in the madness. I'm not saying doctrine ain't important. You just keep listening. Amen. Doctrine is important, but the grounds in there. Amen. The very foundation of the grounds in their unity. Brother Mark, it hinges all. We are unified by the same God. I have nothing in common with the Buddhists tonight. I have nothing in common with the Mormons tonight. Amen. They don't know the God that I know. They don't serve the God that I serve. They don't pray to the God that I pray to. Amen. But I have something in common with that blood was crowned. That crowned in Moses, King James Bible. That crown has been redeemed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know something about a crown that knows my God.
Amen.
United by the same God. United by the same God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The same God. You'll see that. Amen. That in their praying, and it'll be a whole separate point on next week. But, amen. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Unto God. They're unified by the same God. A-L. Number two, they're unified by the same God. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I mean the Word of God.
Amen, sir.
The same God. That early church, they didn't have the New Testament like we did, but they had the Scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. This hyper-dispensational crowd cranks me up. Amen. They wouldn't confine us all in 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. And yet, Amen. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, amen, but it is all according to the scripture. He didn't have 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. But he had the Old Testament, and they had the Old Testament then. And that friend, you get thinking about, and then all the things they had in the Word of God at their disposal, Jeremiah 30:23. Call on me and I'll answer thee, and show them great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Amen. They had the same time, they had the same word, had been given the same instruction, they had been given those things, and they had led them in a way of holiness, and led them in a way that is right. Amen. And even in their meeting, they may not have seen eye to eye on every little thing. Amen. But they had nothing coming in the cave that was leading their life and leading their church and leading them in the way that they ought to go. And then when push came to shove, and were able as many to come together and pray.
Amen. I'm glad we've got a guy.
Yes, sir.
Just thinking about it today, it's 20 years ago. It'd be 20 years ago, Mama, on Saturday, I started my first day pastor. Been pastoring almost 20 years. Y'all listen, I've watched folk cross up to the church and what that book says and stove up about the Word of God and the teaching and the preaching of it.
Yes.
Buddy, I'm telling you, that wreaks havoc in a church. We got the same guy for me. That book lays out the rules, it lays out the guidelines, it lays out the boundaries, it lays out the standards. Amen. We've got something to bring us together, united by the same God. Amen. I'm glad of it. Amen. I'm glad. Amen. This thing don't come down to my opinion and your opinion. Amen. I've had folks tell me, well, amen, I know what you said, the Bible said, but I think I can care. Amen. A flying monkey tell what you think. Amen. I ain't worried about what you think. Amen. Tell me what does the Bible say. Amen. That's got to be what brings us together. Amen. Opinions get us all disjointed and out of touch. Amen. I've had folks come to me and say, Brother Mike, well, I just don't think that's what that verse means. And I'm a gentleman now, but Charlie, I'm a gentleman. I'm kind. I look at people across my desk and say, if it doesn't mean that, tell me what it means. Teach me something. Amen. Well, I don't know. It just don't mean that. Well, all of a sudden, I lose all respect for you. Because you're being governed by feelings and emotions and opinions.
Right.
Amen. Listen, the Word of God is the final authority. Amen. No matter what your grandma says, it doesn't matter what your papa says. Amen. It doesn't matter what you dreamed in the air. Amen. It doesn't matter what your favorite preacher preaches. Amen. It matters that we're unified by the same God. Jesus desired you. I'm bogging down, but Job, and I'm feeling good about it.
Amen.
Jesus in his prayer, amen, prayed to the Heavenly Father in John 17. He said, unify them and bring them together by the truth.
Amen.
Word of God is what unifies us.
Amen.
The Word of God. Amen. Amen. Is unity important? Amen. Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote, amen, and I wish I could get folk to understand this. I really do. Amen. I've been pastoring, it's going to be 20 years soon. Amen. We've been approaching. I've been saved for 2 years. I've been pastoring nearly 20, and it's about ready to be so. And Paul wrote in the church in Philippi, he said, if there be any fellowship, they may be vows of mercy. There may be fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. He talked about them being in one accord. And he wrote to them, he said, fulfill ye my joy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know what stresses a preacher out when there's division in the church? You got a bunch of folk acting like babies can't get along. This and mad, this and grouchy and cantankerous and pooch lipped on somebody they think done them wrong. They gonna walk around all with a chip on their shoulder. Amen. The man of God, Paul, says, my joy is you learn how to get along.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't about you. Amen. Somebody hurt my feelings. I've been so hurt. Get over it. So is the rest of us.
Amen.
The word of God is having unity.
Amen.
The joy of the Savior, the joy of the man of God. Amen. Your own joy is dependent upon. Amen. Finding unity with the church.
Amen.
Sad to say, there's some that say we're not going that way, and they leave, and they, my friends, say we're not walking in that way. That breaks our heart. Breaks our heart. But we bring ourselves back to what does God's Word say?
Amen.
If God's Word says it, it doesn't matter who leaves, it doesn't matter who gets mad, it don't matter what they say about us, God's Word is our source of unity.
Amen.
When we're unified by the same God and unified by the same kind, amen, we can get down together, though many we may be, though many offenses, amen, though many grudges, though many, amen, hurts and pains among us, many misunderstandings, amen, and to realize it, amen, none of that is nearly as important as being unified by the same God, the same guy, so that we can pray together.
Yes.
It's hard to get, it's hard to get going.
Yes.
Are you listening? Unified by the same God. Unified by the same God. United by the same goals. They got the same goals. They want the church to advance. They got all kinds of obstacles. They got all sorts of hindrances. And they got all sorts of things that are trying to suffocate them. But their goal is we're marching forward. We're sailing on. When we want to see the gospel, amen, get out into the community. And then we've got the same goal. Peter's in preaching. And we're unified in the goal. We're going to get a hold of heaven and pray. And a miracle when we come back up. They've got the same goals. You know what would unify the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle if we all got the same goals? Is that right? They've got the same goals. Many. Amen. There were many that came from all sorts of places. Amen. They've taken many different roads to get to this one prayer meeting. But when they got there, amen, they're all headed in the same direction. Does that make sense, Brother Chad? I'm telling you, I'm feeling good about this. Amen. Maybe God uses to help us now. Amen. The same goals. Except when they have come from all different places. Some from the rich side of town. Some from the poor side of town. Amen. Some came from that community. And others came from another community. Amen. Whatever road got them to where they were. Amen. Many were gathered together. Amen. United by the same goal. Same goals. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying there may be many of us, not necessarily number, but when you get thinking about us as individuals, there's many different ways of thinking about things. There's many different kinds of personalities. Amen. Some of you have pleasant, sweet, easy to be around personalities. Well, some of y'all
are like porcupine.
Amen. Some are real easy and some ain't.
Right.
How do we function? How do we function? Get in line, knowing we have the same God.
Yeah.
Same guy. Same goals. That's where our unity rests. Our unity does not rest in, I have to feel warm and fuzzy every time I get around you. Is that right?
Yeah.
I've pastored people in 20 years. Well, Jack, to be quite honest, some of them, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with them.
Yes.
Not here, of course. Not here. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. But that don't mean we can't have unity. Our unity goes beyond feeling warm and fuzzy. Our unity goes beyond, amen, heaven, and just, oh, I love you so much. I love you. I love you. Do you love me? It goes beyond all of that.
Amen. Thank God.
It's a bunch of silliness. Silliness. What the Lord wants us to do as the people of God is to come together, same we have the same God, the same guy, the same goals. And God can take all of our many different backgrounds and many different personalities and many different ways of thinking about things. Use us as one.
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Amen.
Prayer is made of me making sure. Obviously, this relationship has to be right.
Amen.
But so is this one.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. I believe we own some. You believe we own some? Acts 12:5 just gets bigger.
Amen.
You don't want to miss next week. You do not want to miss next week. Amen. Because we don't look at prayers made up of reliance. Without ceasing of the church unto God. Oh, Daddy would call them nuggets. That's what Daddy called them growing up. He called them nuggets. I'll give you a nugget. We understand them. Brother Joe, I call them tidbits. I'll give you some tidbits last week. Unto God. And I'm done. I don't even know what time it is. What are we at? Is it 9:30? Some of y'all look like it's 9:30. Unto God. When you say, preacher, that. That just makes sense. If you pray, who else would you pray to? And I get that. It seems like it should go without saying. And prayer, and the verse would have read just fine, but Jack, the prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. But the Holy Ghost put in your King James Bible unto God.
That's right.
So what seems to be done, the Holy Ghost said it's important enough to emphasize they were praying unto God.
Yeah,
he's telling us they were old. I'm about to preach this. If Sissy just shake her head and say, preach it out, preach right now. Amen. Unto God. They were not reliant on the government changing its mind. They were reliant upon God doing something in spite of what the government
did.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I won't tell you why prayer is going extinct in nearly 22. We've got too many folk in churches that are more concerned and reliant upon the government.
Right.
Who's in the White House and who ain't? That ain't never been our hope.
Right.
Ain't never been our hope. Thank God for the ones that give him is friendly toward the people of God. Thank God for that. We rejoice when that happens. But I don't care. Listen, I don't care who's in there. Our reliance has never been upon God.
Amen.
Our reliance is unto God.
Amen.
You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. I may explode next Wednesday. I really might explode. It's going to get so good. Amen.